Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Great to have you with us today on episode 2 of our new Thrill of Hope series. Hope is a powerful, powerful thing, and it's one of the three things that the Bible says will remain when everything else fails. Hope always looks forward to the future. It's got this confident expectation that tomorrow will be even better than today. And hope removes those fearful kind of question marks that the enemy whispers into our lives and replaces them with an exclamation mark of all the promises that God gives us. I think we kind of drift a little bit from the promises of God when we doubt and complain and cry about our circumstances. It's kind of human nature. But hope is an anchor. Hope is an anchor that ties us and ties our souls to God's truth. And hope is not this weak wish. You know, you blow out a candle on a birthday cake or watch a star go by. It's not a weak wish, but it's a firm belief that's rooted and secure in God's promises. And so we have a very exciting month filled with hope leading up to our grand celebration services on December the 22nd and 24th. When you came in today, we heard about this a little bit earlier, but one of the cards on your seat is this red one. So if you need your help this morning, just take a minute, grab that card in your hand right now, and if you don't have one, slip up your hand nice and high, and one of our ushers would be glad to get you one of those. Get your hands up nice and high. I want everybody to have one of these cards. You'll see five blanks on this card. These blanks are for you to fill in the names of those that you would like to invite to our special Christmas services on the 22nd and the 24th, those that you're going to prayerfully believe will say yes and come out. And so I want you to do that so that it reminds you to pray for them, reminds you to not only pray, but to bring them, to sit with them when they come, take them out for dinner afterwards, do whatever you got to do to be a part of the Christmas miracle that God wants to do in their lives. And then make sure that you also take at least five of these invitations, because if you're praying for five people, you want to take five invitations to match. We had a bit of a run on these last week, so I've asked the ushers, we've printed a bunch more, we're all good to go. At the end of today's service, at all three entrances to the auditorium, you will see an usher, and you take as many as you need that you'll be able to hand out to those that you're bringing to those special services. It's going to be fantastic. And so I would recommend that once you put the names of those you're praying for, fold this up, stick it on your Christmas tree so that it will remind you to pray for those people and believe that God will do something in their lives this Christmas season. We've been working hard kind of behind the scenes. Christmas is really the greatest opportunity to share the hope that you have in your heart, the hope that Christ has given you. And so use these services as an opportunity to invite your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, your family. And don't just invite church people. When church people are going to church, hopefully somewhere, these invitations are people that don't go to church at all, that don't know Jesus. Invite those that are far from Christ, that could use a little thrill of hope in their lives. And so on the 22nd, on Sunday, is our Thrill of Hope Christmas Spectacular. And this is going to be in all of the services across both campuses. And it's going to be a production of Christmas music, dance, drama, drums. There's going to be all kinds of things, a few surprises thrown in there for good measure. And then on Christmas Eve, my favorite services of the whole year, our Candlelight Christmas Eve services. These are legendary Calvary services. And this auditorium will be filled with candlelight as people from all over the community come and have really made these services a part of their Christmas tradition. Now, all of these events, all of these services are completely free, but I would advise you to come early because the seats are going to go very quickly. And so if you want a good seat for you and your guest, then I would encourage you to come early. And then coming out of Christmas, on the 29th of December, is our annual family blessing service. This is an opportunity for you to bring the whole family, and our leaders, our pastors, will be here to pray for each and every family as we head into the new year. And heading into the new year is going to be great. In January, we've got a brand new series that I'm already looking forward to called Creatures of Habit, talking about the habits that can make or break our lives. And then, back by popular demand, our Together Family Weekend is coming up in January 31st and February the 1st. Our good friends, John and Helen Burns, will be with us on the Saturday to do the sessions. And Simon Gao will be with us on the Friday night for our One Big Night student worship concert. So it's going to be so, so great. And this conference for the family has something literally for everyone. So there'll be breakout sessions for marrieds, for singles, for young adults, for men, women, and kids. So there's something for the entire family. I would encourage you in advance to jump online, go to our website, calvary.ca, and click on the event family weekend, and you'll see all the registration information is up and running right now. And you can register, if you register before the end of this month, you'll get an early bird discount, right? What's the discount? 33%. You can't beat that, folks, until the end of December. So make the best of that before you go into the new year. You're going to be so blessed. As Pastor Brad would say, you're going to want to do that. Okay, get your Bible out. Let's get started. We're going to jump right into the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, fantastic, powerful book. We're going to look at a scripture today, a proverb that's not typically seen as a Christmas passage, but there's certainly a clear Christmas connection that's wrapped up into the wisdom that's found in this particular proverb from Solomon. We briefly touched on it as we ended our service last week, but we were really focusing on the first part of the verse, not the second part, where I'd like to focus today's message. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life." Today's message is a very important truth when it comes to the dream that we have in our life, or the dreams we have, or the dream that we have as a church. And so today's message I'm calling Hope Fulfilled. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for your presence at work in our lives and in this church. We pray that your word would capture our hearts and transform our lives in a very powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I wish that we had just torn up the ticket. Now, these sound like odd words for someone who had just won the Powerball jackpot and cashed in on a whopping $315 million. Can you imagine that? This is beyond my comprehension. But these were the words of Andrew J. Whitaker, who was the president of a construction company that was worth an estimated $17 million. When his ship came in and he won the lotto, he went to the convenience store when he got his sandwich at lunch, picked up a ticket, Powerball ticket, and then just like that, in one day, this wealthy man became even wealthier with his new lotto winnings as he hit this jackpot in life. But shortly after, they interviewed his wife and Andrew J. Whitaker, and they both talked about how unfulfilled they felt. Even though they generously donated 10% of their earnings to a Christian foundation, they helped family. He went and found the girl who sold him the ticket at the corner store, and he bought her a new house. And then he bought her a brand new Dodge Ram truck, brand new truck, and then gave her $50,000 in a bag and said, "Thank you for selling me that ticket." And so it was all in the papers, and everybody covered it. But what followed was a series of unfortunate events. He had some situations where he was the victim of multiple robberies. His bank account was actually emptied at one point by thieves. His car was broken into multiple times. His house was broken into multiple times. He experienced a series of tragedies in his family with those that he loved. And all of these things led him to turn to the bottle, and he became addicted to alcohol. And now, on this side of all of those winnings, being a multimillionaire, the man is completely broke. Lost his business, lost everything. For him, he will refer to those times as that ticket being a curse in his life, the most unfulfilling moment. And yet for many of us, we think, man, that would be the pinnacle of winnings, to be able to pay off all my bills, to be able to do great things for other people. And yet society and social media continue to offer us this skewed picture of what success looks like, what fulfillment looks like. Curated photos and stories of the bold and the beautiful, all looking like something we want to attain to. We see pictures of models who seem to have won the genetic jackpot. They're tall, dark, and handsome, or they're thin, curvy, and glamorous. Celebrities seem to win the popularity jackpot. Media has them plastered on magazine covers all over the interwebs and on billboards. What would it be like to be that loved by so many people? Then we see the wealthy. They seem to have won the monetary jackpot. They live a large life while the ordinary folks still struggle to pay the bills each and every week. You see, outwardly, society will say that looks, fame, and fortune will take you far in life, but will that inner voice within your soul, your heart, agree with that assessment? What is the formula for true life fulfillment? Well, in the book of Proverbs, the writing of Solomon the Wise seemed to point to more of a heart condition when it comes to the matters of true fulfillment instead of the superficial. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Occasionally in life, there are those moments of unutterable fulfillment, which can be completely explained by those symbols called words, where words are not enough. Their meanings can only be articulated by the inaudible language of the heart." You see, Christmas is all about hope, about longing, about promises fulfilled. And our proverb today, the one that we're focusing on in this message, captures these elements perfectly in two compact heart-related phrases. Proverbs 13:12, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream or a longing fulfilled is a tree of life." So what I want to do today is I want to dig into this proverb from three different perspectives. First, we're going to look at the biblical application, then the Christmas application, and then finish things off looking at how it affects us personally. How do I apply that to my life? So let's start with the biblical perspective. Now, you got to understand proverbs a little bit. Generally, a proverb are these short little statements that teach us nuggets of wisdom by making pointed observations about life. Now, I'm talking about spirit-inspired truth, not just a little fortune cookie, right? Where there's something written on it and you're trying to see what your fortune is for the day. Even though many of those fortunes have been inspired by actual proverbs. Now, because proverbs are so short, they come at us really quick. And so we got to step back and slow it down a little bit to really take in the wisdom in these powerful little phrases. And the proverb makes this accurate observation that when we have a longing or a hope in our lives that is postponed or deferred or put off, something that we have to wait for, that it gives us this sick feeling inside. But that when a dream or a longing or something that we can't wait to come does come and it's fulfilled, the Bible refers to it as this moment of really living life, of experiencing the tree of life. Now, the first part of this verse we actually touched on last week in detail as we kind of kicked off the season of Advent together. And it's really all about waiting. Nobody likes to wait. Nobody likes to roll into their favorite restaurant and be told that there's a 45-minute wait. And you think, oh, I really want to be here, so I'm just going to grab that little glowing puck in my hand and wait for it to blink and vibrate, and then it'll be my turn, right? Nobody likes to wait. Nobody likes to wait for all year they're looking forward to this particular sneaker release. There's people that spend thousands of dollars on footwear these years, and some of them can't wait for that day to come. They get anxious for it. Or waiting for an album to drop, or their favorite phone to come out, that's going to be released. I remember going to the Guilford Mall once in the middle of winter, seeing people lined up down the sidewalk in sleeping bags and little pup tents, waiting for the release of the new iPhone. Now listen, I like gadgets like the next guy, but there is no way I'm parking myself in a sleeping bag on the sidewalk. This is not going to happen. But there's people that do. And they wait. I've waited in line before for a movie to come out, like I wanted to go on opening night. And even when that line starts to move, you start to kind of get a little aggressive because you want to get the best seat when you get through the door. And then last week we talked about kids, how they anxiously wait for Christmas. It can't come soon enough. As parents, the time seems to fly by. In the world of kids, it seems to be all in slow motion. So we get anxious. We get impatient. It makes our heart sick when we've got to wait for something. Now, those things are relatively simple things, superficial even. What about the things that are of more significance? What about those that are anxiously waiting news or a report from a doctor about a life-changing diagnosis? They took tests and they're waiting to see what that test is going to tell them. What about those that have worked very hard and have gone to school and studied, and now they've applied for the job that they've always wanted, and now they have to wait? They've done the interview, they're not sure how it went, and they're tense, they're pensive, they're waiting for that news. What about our younger people who are single in their life and maybe wanting to share their life with somebody, and they're waiting for that right person to come along? Those are not things that we enjoy waiting for. It can be painful. It can even be heart sickening. And those things, those more serious situations in our life, are a little more difficult to weather. And the truth is, there's a lot of unfulfilled dreams in this life. And so that means there's a lot of heart sick people in the world. Those are the people that I'm talking about when I encourage you to write names on those prayer cards. Those are the kind of people that I'm encouraging you to invite this Christmas, to experience the hope that comes not from the superficial, but from the things that the creator of the universe has fashioned and planned for us to walk in. But let's look at the second half of that proverb today as well. You know, proverbs, if you understand anything about them, they often work in pairs. And the second part usually balances out the first part. So yes, hope deferred or postponed or put off makes the heart sick. But Proverbs says that a dream or a longing that's fulfilled is like the tree of life. So when you've been waiting on something for so long, and then it finally comes true, and that hope is fulfilled, Proverbs 13:12 says that it's like the tree of life. Now that's an interesting metaphor, because the Bible talks about the tree of life at the very beginning of the story. The beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the tree of life is kind of talked about. Genesis 2, 8 and 9 says, "Now the Lord had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put a man he had formed. The Lord made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye, like a palm tree." That's my favorite tree. I like a palm tree. Palm tree says vacation to me when I see a palm tree, right? "And also trees that were good for food. But in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And so Adam got the word right at the get-go, don't eat from that tree. And so that was probably the most difficult thing for him to get his head around. And so when he and Eve decided to do that, to eat from that tree, quickly, just like that, their accommodations and their wardrobe changed, like immediately with that decision being made. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And so in that moment, they were separated by sin, by making a decision to walk away from God, and paradise was lost until that promised Redeemer came to forgive that sin and to right the wrong. So the tree of life shows up at the beginning of the book, right? We see it referred to in this way. But guess where it shows up again? At the end of the book, in the book of Revelation. Revelation 22, 1-2 says, "Then the angel showed me," I love Revelation because it's just filled with this incredible symbolism and these pictures of this dream that's taking place of the end of the age. "The angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree," the Bible says, "are for the healing of the nations." So here we see that the tree of life is not only a symbol for eternal life, but it's also a symbol of healing. And I believe that that's the symbol we're supposed to get when we read Proverbs 13:12, that hope postponed or put off makes our hearts sick. And what happens when something becomes sick, when you become sick? What do you need? You take medication, you go to the doctor, you seek healing from whatever it is that you're going through. And so a longing or a dream fulfilled, the Bible is saying, is healing to the heart sick person. That's what it's talking about when it refers to the tree of life. So that's kind of the biblical framework of what that proverb is all about. Now, let's look at the Christmas perspective. In the Christmas narrative, and as we start Advent, and some of you are going through this online, this devotional together, it's great to be walking through the scripture together and to share our thoughts and to walk that time of waiting out. But if we look back in the day, God's people were waiting for many, 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 many long years for the coming of a Messiah, for the coming of this hero who would come to save the day. And that longing was eventually fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. In fact, that's one of the reasons we celebrate Advent for the whole month of December leading up to Christmas, because it reminds us of what it would have been like to wait for the coming of Christ on that Christmas morning. So what was it like? See, Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden, separating them from God, and even in their sinful state, even in that moment, this is where we see the love of God, where we see his heart. Because even in this sinful moment, God was already rolling out a plan to bring them back, to give them a path back to redemption, to find their way home again, which I so love about him. The promise of a coming Savior who would right that wrong. But here's the thing. God didn't give them an exact timetable. So whenever a new son was born, people would wait and wonder, is this the one? Is this the Messiah? Is this the one that has been promised? In fact, when Noah was born, we know about Noah in the ark, when he was born, his parents gave him that name because it means comfort. And they thought that he might be the one to bring comfort to the people in the midst of their struggle and take away the effects of the curse. They thought maybe he could be the one. See, in our lives today, the same is true, that God rarely works on our timetable. But in those days, the years turned into centuries, the centuries turned into millennia. That's a long time to wait. And some people would have given up hope, but there's always a remnant. There's always a group that will continue to wait. And God continued to send prophets into the land to speak about the details of this prophecy, of this coming Savior. And God also made it clear at this moment that this Savior was not just for the nation of Israel, that this Savior had come for all the nations. That's why I love the picture of our church. Calvary is this multicultural group of people that represents all the nations of the world. And that was the heart God had. And so now we fast forward to that first Christmas Eve. Thousands of years of waiting. After all of that time, God sends an angel to the shepherds in the field with a message. Luke 2, 10 to 11 says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" Today, circle that word, underline it. "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So what's the operative word here? It's that word that I just said, today. The long wait was finally over. Now Jesus, the Savior of the world, was born. Hope was fulfilled. That's the power of the Christmas story. Now let's look at how all of that affects you and me. How does it affect me personally? You see, this is true of every scripture, right? We can read all the scripture verses that we want, study books, memorize it. But unless we apply it to our lives, unless we walk it out, we've missed something. So here it is. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of every one of your longings. Everything you have ever desired is found in him. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the answer to all your questions. He is the one that you've been looking for in your life, even when you didn't know you were looking for him. And there is so much heart sickness in the world today. We know that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but it's the birth of Jesus, that good news of great joy for all people that includes me and you. We're brought into that promise. Psalm 39:7 says, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in who? It's in you. And when your hope is in Christ, you will never be disappointed." Every person born into the world is born with a heart condition. They're born heart sick, apart from God. Our hearts are literally sick with sin, and we need that healing that only Christ can provide. He is the tree of life that provides forgiveness and cleanses our hearts from sin. He's the one who brings salvation and fulfills our deepest longings and dreams. St. Augustine once prayed these famous words. He says, "You have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." Now, I don't know about you, but that is a picture of my life. I had a restless heart for many, many years until I found him. And then I found that peace. I found that resting place. How about you? Do you have a restless heart today? Is your heart sick maybe because you've had disappointment after disappointment after disappointment? My encouragement to all of you is to come to Jesus. Come to the Savior. He's your healer. He's the giver of life. Jesus died on a cross to pay the penalty for your sin, to give you life. The cross was a tree of death for him, but it was a tree of life for you. You remember Elizabeth's words? Elizabeth was Mary's cousin and close friend when the angel Gabriel showed up on the scene and gave Mary the word that she would bear a miraculous son, that his name would be called Jesus. She was like freaking out. How is that possible? Nothing like that had ever happened before. There's been no stories told about that. This can't be true. And yet in the moment, she knew that it was. So what did she do? She bolted out of her house. She ran all the way to her cousin's house, to Elizabeth's house, to share this news. She had to talk to somebody. I got to figure this out. I got to process this in my thinking. And so she opens the door, walks into Elizabeth's home, and yet Elizabeth had some miraculous news of her own. She had had a word that she would give birth, even in her old age, which seemed impossible. And that she would give birth to John, who would be the forerunner to Jesus and prepare the way. And the Bible says that when Mary came through the door with this dream that was going to be birthed within her, Christ, when Jesus came into the room, Elizabeth's dream, Elizabeth's child, John, leapt inside of her. Something happens when Jesus comes into your life. The dreams that you have, that you hold inside it, it leaps. You feel it stirred. Something happens because you know that the one who can bring it to pass, the one who can ensure that you reach the destination you've been promised, has entered the room. And your dream leaps. Maybe it's leaping right now in your chest because you know that Christ is the only one who can do it. And so in that moment, that's what was happening within Elizabeth. And she says these words to Mary, which today I say to you. It says, Luke 1:45, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises." Blessed are you, I would say, when you believe that the Lord will fulfill his promised hope in you, in your life, in your children, in your relationships, in your marriage. He has the ability to bring it about, to give you new life, to heal your broken heart, to heal your heart sick situation. Whatever you have gone through, Jesus Christ is here today as your Redeemer, as your Savior, as your healer, the one who can bring it about. Bow your head with me as we pray this morning. Father, I thank you that today we stand in a place where the dreams that we have in our lives, in our hearts, they leap within us because we know that you have entered the room. You've entered our lives. And more importantly, we realize that you have the power and the ability to fulfill those dreams, those longings within us. Father, today I pray for the heart sick that are among us, that have navigated disappointment and hurt and pain, things that only they know about, things that have never been uttered or shared. Today, before you, Lord Jesus, I pray that each one of those people would lay it down before you, that we would realize that the cross may have been a tree of death for you, but it was for us the tree of life. And so today I pray that you would cause them to know that whether it's knowing you or walking in your health and fulfillment, that Lord Jesus, you bring us life when you fulfill those longings and those hopes. We know that none of the superficial things that we often reach for, fame, money, power, wealth, that none of these things can check the box of fulfillment in our life. Our hope can only be fulfilled in you. And so I pray that today, even as we prepare to come forward for prayer, that Lord Jesus, that there would be those that say yes to you, that there would be those as they come forward that would be healed in their body, healed in their emotions, that you would do miraculous things. And then beyond all of that, I pray that each one of us would be ambassadors of hope, that we would be inviters and bringers, even at this Christmas season, that as we prepare for our services on the 22nd and the 24th, that we would use them as opportunities to allow those that we are reaching out to hear the gospel, to see their lives forever changed, to experience a thrill of hope, that you would use each one of us. Lord, your plan has always been to change lives, but you've also, as part of that plan, have chosen to use us to be a part of it, to reach out and to bring the people. In Jesus' name we pray.